Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things, he, that is Jesus, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, draw us close to you in this hour. Thank you for this time to be in your presence. And Father, I thank you for all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has been very active. He's accomplished a lot of amazing things. He has taught fishermen a few things about catching fish. He told them to put their nets out after they had fished all night and caught nothing, and they caught so many fish they could not even get them in the boat. Through his power, he moved and got the attention of Simon Peter. That day, Jesus told Peter that it's time to leave fishing for fish. It's time to step up his game. He told Simon Peter that he wanted him to join him in fishing for men. So Peter joined him. Peter would be caught by him. Andrew was caught by him. James and John were caught by him. They would give themselves to following Jesus. Now, I am going to challenge you. Shouldn't you give yourself to following Jesus? Shouldn't you follow him on Sundays, and shouldn't you follow him on every other day? Shouldn't you put your attention into his desires and into his will? Jesus caught fish that no one could catch except, of course, they be God. Then Jesus healed a leper that no one would touch and nobody could heal except, of course, that he be God. There was a paralyzed man that was lowered to Jesus' feet, and no one could meet that man's needs. He had a great need in his heart to be forgiven of his sins, and he needed to be healed from paralysis. Jesus moved in such a way to make things very clear for the followers. He said, Your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees jumped at that. They said, No one can forgive sin except he be God. And Jesus proved that he had power to heal. He proved that he had power to forgive sins. He clearly demonstrated that he was no ordinary man when he said, Rise up and walk. And that man that had been paralyzed rose up and walked, rose up forgiven. Jesus proved that he is the Messiah. Jesus proved that he is God. And he challenged his followers, go out, fish for men. And now he's going to show them how it's done. We see in this passage that we just read the call in verse 27 and following. And after these things, he went forth, saw a publican and named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Jesus issued a call to Levi. Levi was a publican. If Levi did it twice, he would have been a Republican. But just seeing if you're there, okay. So Levi, you also know by the name Matthew. The call was very simple, but also very powerful. It is the same call that he issued to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Two words, follow me. Hard to misunderstand that. He wanted them to follow him. This last fall, we were privileged to host a ladies' banquet. It was our largest ever women's banquet. Over 300 women gathered in this room around the tables to eat, to fellowship, and to hear our speaker, Kim Jaggers, and she held them spellbound. You know, people sometimes get a little antsy when we go, 30, 40 minutes in a message. Kim was still going at an hour and 10. The ladies listened. The ladies were on the edge of their seat. And as she shared her testimony, she got to the climax of her message. It was that crucial moment. And if you were in the room, you'll remember something strange happened. Somebody's alarm went off. And, okay, well, that happens. It's so embarrassing. Somebody's alarm goes off, but then somebody else's alarm went off. Then cell phones around the room began to sound, and Kim, of course, was stopped at that moment. She couldn't do anything else. She asked, "What's going on?" And in unison, the ladies all said, "Amber alert." And so at that very crucial time, there was an Amber alert. An Amber alert is a warning that a person is missing, most commonly a child. And so most people that who want Amber alerts have to sign up or have to agree that they're going to receive an Amber alert. And all those in the room had spoken that they had wanted that alert, and so they received them. And Kim made the comment, "There sure are a lot of people interested in missing persons." Jesus is interested in missing persons. He's interested in anyone and everyone that is missing from the Lord God. He is interested in and desires to find everyone that does not know God as their Father. Today, we have some churches that are interested in you if you meet their requirements. You know, there are churches that have moved into the world of the marketplace, and they have decided that church should be a niche marketing facility. And so they're interested in you if you fall into their niche. Now, they're interested in you if you fall into certain age parameters. They truly want you if you're under 45 years of age. Now, not only do they want you under 45 years of age, they want you to have a certain bank account. They used to be very interested in how you dress. They would like you to dress up when you come in. Not so much now. As one pastor put it, don't care how you dress if you live in a $500,000 house. They're picking and choosing those that they want to come in, and basically they don't care about you if you're a little on the older side. They just want people who fit into their niche. Now, if you've been here for any time at all, you would know that I attended a university in Alabama called the University of Alabama. Just seems appropriate. We had a coach there while I was there. His name was Bear Bryant. And perhaps you've heard me speak of his recruiting procedures. Coach Bryant would use his senior players to recruit high school players, because who better to do that? High school players would look up to a star that was playing for Coach Bryant, and so he would send them out into the high schools, and they would watch the football games, and Coach Bryant would tell them the type of person to look for, and that was just part of the recruiting procedures in that day. Now, the recruiting procedures have changed some today, but in that day, he was very good at it. And he would have a meeting with the seniors before they were to go out and look for the players. He would tell them the exact type of player that he wanted them to find. He would tell them that he wanted them to go out, and he wanted them to look, and he wanted them to watch the game very closely. And they were going to see in every game, they were going to see at least one player they're going to see get knocked down, and he's going to jump right back up. After a while, they're going to see him get knocked down again. He's going to jump right back up. They're going to see him time and time again get bruised, get battered, get knocked down, and he's going to jump back up. And then Coach Brian in his gravelly voice would say, "Now, men, do you know the type of player that I'm looking for?" And most of the seniors, most of the occasions, would all say the same thing. "We're looking for that guy that gets knocked down and keeps jumping back up." And to that, Coach Bryant would get frustrated. He would growl, and he would say very loudly, "No, no, no. I want you to find the guy that's knocking them down." He had a particular individual that he was looking for. The fact that Jesus issues a call to Levi identifies the type of person Jesus is looking for. Levi was a tax collector. Now, these individuals were looked down upon. We don't like them very much today, but they were looked down upon by almost everyone. They were Jews that were seen as performing a treasonous act as they worked for Rome. The Romans used a system called tax farming to collect their taxes. And what individuals would do is they would bid on particular areas of the nation. And if they won the bid, they would then have the privilege of collecting the taxes for Rome. Actually, they would collect two types of taxes. They would collect the taxes for Rome, and then they could levy their own taxes from which they got their payment. Now, the first type of tax was certainly government-oriented and had to be paid. They would have a payroll tax. They would have land taxes. One-tenth of the grain crop, one-fifth of wine, fruit, and olives all went to Rome. The individual tax collectors were allowed to give that individual tax, and so they would tax other things which they would keep for themselves. They were classified in the same company as the worst of sinners, murderers, prostitutes, thieves. When the text says Jesus looked and saw Levi, the word used for saw is a simple but it's very powerful word. It means that he looked through him. He observed him with such intensity that he saw everything about him. He knew who Levi was. He knew what kind of person Levi was. He knew his character. He knew his lifestyle. Can I tell you today that God knows you? He knows your character. He knows your lifestyle. Jesus was willing to reach out to this publican, this sinful man, this worst of the worst. And because Jesus reached out to Levi, God is saying he is willing to reach out to you. In fact, it means that if God would reach out to someone like Levi, he would reach out to anyone. If he could save Levi, he could save anybody. Listen, there is a heresy being taught today that Jesus didn't come for everybody. He just came for a select few. That's not what the Bible teaches. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." That verse says Jesus came for the entire world. He came for whosoever would respond to him. And that means if you're willing to respond, he came for you. He came for Levi. God's call is to all. In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Listen, I don't care how bad you are, God doesn't want you to perish. God wants you to come to repentance. I don't care how bad your neighbor is, God doesn't want them to perish. God wants them to come to repentance. I don't care how bad your children are. You know, God wants them not to perish. He wants them to come to repentance, and he wants them all to come to salvation. He wants to save us all. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Jesus came for whosoever. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. Jesus came for all of us. He's willing to reach beyond your base needs. He's willing to reach beyond everything that is in your life, and he wants to reach you. What can you do? What can you do to be rejected by Jesus? Not respond to him. Because Jesus reached out to Levi, you can know he wants you. When Jesus spoke to the man that was paralyzed, that was dropped through the roof at his feet, there was an immediate act of faith, an immediate move of God. Jesus told him to rise and to take his bed and go home. He got up, he went home. Now Jesus speaks to Levi the publican and issues a call. There is an immediate act of faith, an immediate reaction. He says, follow me. Immediately he follows him. John tells us of Jesus speaking to a sick man by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus says, do you want to be well? That's an interesting question. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be better? Would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to be forgiven? There was an immediate act of faith as the man stood to his feet. You see, God calls to you. He says, follow me. And there needs to be an act of faith where you receive him. In just a little while, we'll have a moment where we will issue the call very freely. We want you to come to Jesus. We want you to come to the altar. That is an act of faith. And we pray together, and as you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you will be instantly saved. Jesus, by example, is showing the disciples they are to go to everyone, no matter their social standing, no matter their sins, no matter what they have done in the past. Jesus told the story about a man that threw a feast. And he threw this big party and he asked everybody to come. He asked the rich and the famous, all the haves of the world, but they didn't come. So Jesus sent his servants out, and the Bible says, and the Lord said to his servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Jesus sent them to whoever would respond. And today, Jesus is sending us to whoever will respond. He wants us to draw people in, and yes, he wants his house to be full. To many people, church is a foreign thing. And they don't come because they don't think they would be welcome. Now, to those of us who come, that's kind of ridiculous sounding. But you come. There are people that stay home because they don't think they would be received well. We need to break through that barrier. Statistically, people will come if they're asked. Now, will everybody come? Well, probably not, but more will come if they're asked than will come if they're not. Shouldn't we be asking? You're the key. People like to go where they know people. And so the people you know are the people that are willing to come. But you got to get to them. You got to go to where they are. You got to invite them to come from where they are to where we are. People will go where family members have sought them to go. You got family members that are not churched? Are you issuing a call to them? Encouraging them to come? Listen, Easter's coming. If you're ever going to do it, shouldn't you do it now? Ask them to spend Easter with you. Ask them to invite them over to the house to have dinner after lunch after Easter services. Give them a reason to come and eat. And, if they don't like your cooking, offer to go to their house after church. Do what you need to do. There is an opportunity here. There's another important matter. If you invite somebody to come, please be here when they come. Listen, it has happened many times that we have had someone come. They said their friend, they're looking for so-and-so that, they invited them to come. And so-and-so's not here. Well, that communicates too. And so invite them to come, but you be here when they come. And challenge them. There is a call that's issued. Then there's the celebration. I really like this. Verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. Levi is excited about this meeting Jesus. He's excited about what Jesus has done for his life. He's excited even about leaving the tax business that was very profitable, all because he now has made friends with Jesus. And you know what? He wants other people that he knows to know Jesus. Now, if you're a publican, the only friends you got are other publicans. The only people who are going to associate with you are other people from the world. And so those are the people you associate with. He invited them all to come to his house. It's a neat thing. It's a neat happening. Have you ever heard of Tupperware? How many of you have ever been to a Tupperware party? Oh, many. Wow. Tupperware is a plastic container with a sealable lid, and I am told that it's airtight. Okay, you got to burp it. You fold up the lid after you get it down, and you put it down, and it's airtight. And the marketing strategy for Tupperware is very simple. They didn't build their company by putting plastic bowls and containers in stores. Oh no, they built their company by getting hostesses, who would have people over to their house, and they would have snacks and things and offer them the opportunity to buy this wonderful, marvelous plastic bowl. $30 or $40. I don't know how much they cost. Anyway, how many of you have ever bought anything at a Tupperware party? It worked. Long before there was Tupperware, long before Tupperware closed its first lid, there was a guy by the name of Levi that threw a party and invited everybody he knew, all of his friends, all the people that would come to come in. And after they had eaten, after they had enjoyed their time, he introduced them to Jesus. Hey, what Jesus will give you will preserve you a lot longer than Tupperware. Listen, the lost are likely to come if they're invited. But here's another truth for you. They're more likely to come to someone's house than they are to someone's church. I believe it would work if you threw a Tupperware party for Jesus. Leave the Tupperware out. What if you just invited some friends over for hot dogs or something, instead of selling them Tupperware, you just told them about Jesus. You told them what he meant to you. You tell them how he's changed your life, and then you tell them what he's done for me, he can do for you, and you give them an opportunity to receive Jesus. You might even have such an event, and after you tell them about Jesus, you tell them about your church, and you tell them what your church means to you, and you invite them to come. You may think that wouldn't work, but who in the world thought you could build a multi-million-dollar business selling plastic bowls at people's houses. If we will go, they will come. If we will ask, they will answer, and many will receive. Will everybody say yes? No. But if we don't ask, none of them will say yes. And so it behooves us not only to answer the call, but to have a celebration about the call when it's been answered. Listen, we should get excited about knowing Jesus. And the best people to reach Jesus are new people as they come to Jesus. And new people as you meet them. You know, there are opportunities for us to reach and draw them in. There's a call. There's a celebration. And then comes the criticism. In verse 30, "But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?'" Throughout history, there have always been that group that's going to criticize individuals that reach out to people that are lost. In our day, they are saying that we shouldn't recruit. You know, well, I got news for you. Jesus told us to recruit. I'm going to listen to Jesus before I listen to the day. Throughout history, there have been those that have put down individuals for talking to lost people. Jesus said, "I am come to heal the sick." People that are well don't need to be healed. Now, Jesus didn't come for the holy and righteous and perfect. Romans 3:10 says, "There are none righteous, no, not one." That's why Jesus doesn't come for the righteous, because there are not any. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And I'm so glad that he did. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That certainly includes me. Jesus is not declaring that he did not come for the righteous. He's declaring that he came for everyone, because nobody's righteous. Jesus is not saying he didn't come for those who are spiritually well. He's saying, "I came for everybody," because nobody's spiritually well. The problem of the scribes and Pharisees is that they did not see the truth of their own sinfulness. Do you see the truth of your own sinfulness? You've sinned. I've sinned. Everybody you know has sinned, and anybody that has sinned is headed toward hellfire. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. God makes that very clear. We all deserve that. We are all headed in that direction, unless we respond to Jesus. Unless we say yes to the Savior. Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that you need a Savior? There is only one who can be that Savior. His name is Jesus. And so Levi, Matthew, got the message to his friends and continued to follow Jesus. Today, God's trying to get your attention. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, that's why you're here. That's exactly what you need to do. I challenge you to do it. There needs to be an act of faith, just a receiving him into your own heart and life. You may just want to come down to the front. Just say, "I want Jesus." We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll save your soul today. Believer, are you following the Lord, or have you slipped away from the Lord? Today is a day to get yourself back right. Today is a day to give all of yourself to him, to turn back to him. Is there somebody that you need to be reaching out to? Is there somebody God's put on your heart that you know is away from God? Is there somebody that you know God wants to reach? If you know that, don't you understand you're the vehicle? And perhaps today you just need to come to the altar and lift them up to Jesus. Ask God to give you the words and then go and invite them to Jesus. Bring them to Sunday school, but bring them to Jesus. God calls you to a decision. Will you make one? Would you be willing to come? Maybe you need a church home and God said, this is the place. Come and be part of us. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for your word, for your challenge to us. I pray now, Father, that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus. I pray that they would come to you now. In this room, Father, are some that have made a decision in their heart, but they've never made it public. And Father, you call us to come publicly, and so I pray that they would come forward now. Father, there are some that know you, Father, but that are not serving you, and you would call them to yourself now. And Father, there are some who know others they need to reach out to. Father, put them on their hearts, and Father, let them bring them to you, and let them make that commitment now. Move in our hearts toward decision. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we sing, you come.